Morning, church family, the body of Christ, of course, sitting here in the chairs this morning, the body of Christ participating online wherever you are, we are still the body of Christ bound together, and we all give God glory for that. So I take us back to Christmas time, and not this past Christmas, when I was about 9 or 10 years old, and I didn't do a great job, you know, waiting for my presents. Typical kid, I snuck peeks. I knew where mom kept the presents, and I snuck a peek before Christmas. But I remember this Christmas in particular, it was the days leading up to Christmas, and my mother came home from doing some grocery shopping. And she came back with the paper Publix bag, and she mentioned something about, yeah, I went out and did some Christmas shopping for you. And I said, at Publix? And she said, as a matter of fact, yes, at Publix. I got you a present at Publix. What did you get me at Publix? I asked. I mean, really, I'm 10 years old. What could I want at Publix for Christmas? She said, no, it's something you want, I promise. It's driving me crazy now. What could I want at that age at Publix that my mother got me for Christmas? So I persist. Come on, tell me. No, tell me, no. I'll give you $5, Mom. She said, no. Come on, tell me. She said, okay, give me $10, and you can have this present right now. Now, I don't know what my allowance was at that time, but I'm sure that was 2 or 3 weeks worth. But that was the deal struck. She said, fine, give me $10. If you can't wait, you can have your present early for $10. So, of course, I forked over $10 because I could not fathom what was waiting for me for Christmas from Publix, and I could not wait a few more days to find out. So I give her the $10. She takes it. I mean, this wasn't, you know, here you go. No. She took the $10, and I got my paper Publix bag with my Christmas present in it. I open it up, and she wasn't wrong. It was something I wanted. Don't know if it was worth the $10 just to wait a few days. It was a six-pack, let me finish. It was a six-pack of commemorative Pepsi bottles with Shaquille O'Neal on them. I forget exactly what. I was a huge Shaq fan back in the day. That was back when the Magic were going to the finals. And there was this commemorative thing that Pepsi was doing as a six-pack of bottles of commemorative Shaq Pepsis. I was happy, but not $10 happy. I couldn't wait. I just couldn't. I was willing to pay almost double of what she paid for just because I could not wait to see what was coming to me. Waiting. Waiting is not something we prefer. And I don't feel like I have to go to great lengths to sell you on the idea that we do not prefer to wait. How many of us are going to the doctor maybe a little more frequently lately? None of us is relieved to hear upon our arrival that the doctor is waiting late, or is running late, and that you're going to wait longer. Unless you're like me and you always have a book with you, it's like, oh, well, good, that's built-in reading time I don't have to feel guilty about. But no, none of us really celebrates the idea that the doctor is running late. Or perhaps you're finally getting out of the house. For those of you with busy schedules, or maybe kids or other people you're looking after, you finally get out of the house. You finally go to one of your favorite restaurants, just a place to let down. None of you is ecstatic to hear that the wait time for your table is 90 minutes. That is never welcome news. So much do we hate to wait that we can and we do pay, like I did, to not wait. At Universal Studios, which from what I've heard is probably closed at this point, but I know they have a program in place. For $70 a day, for each day that you go, you can jump the line once every ride. For $70, jump right to the front of the line once every ride. Or, if you don't want to wait at all for the whole day, if you plan on going multiple times, you pay $90. Unlimited jump to the front of the line every ride. You can pay and not have to wait. The Orlando International Airport, I cannot imagine what it looks like right now, but for $85, you can get the TSA pre-check so that you can kind of skip some of those lines and get ahead. We can pay to not wait. Oh, what a luxury. And yet, just points to the idea that we will do anything but wait. It's something we don't do well and never have. we can go all the way back, and I mean way back, to the book of Exodus, Exodus 32, where the scene is Moses has gone up to the mountain to speak with God. He is getting what is ultimately going to come down as the Ten Commandments. But down below the mountain are the people of Israel. And with them is Aaron, and they're getting restless. I mean, Moses is taking a while up on that mountain. It's become a month. It's getting on the other side of a month, toward 40 days, and they're getting restless. They don't know what's happening. They don't know what's coming, and they're getting tired of waiting. So they turn to Aaron, of course. What do they say? They say, make gods for us, Aaron. Give us something to worship. We know there is a God up there, but it's taken too long. Make us gods here. So, of course, that's where the golden calf comes in, because they could not wait for what God was going to give to them through his servant Moses. It's just something we've never done very well. Now, maybe we shouldn't be too harsh on the Israelites in that scene and their impatience. That seems pretty drastic, that they couldn't wait to God, so they made golden idols to worship. That's a bit drastic. That's out there, but it makes the point. We're all waiting for something, and it's hard. You're waiting for the next opportunity. You're waiting for that phone call. You're waiting for test results. You're waiting for the good news, or perhaps you're waiting for the bad news. You're waiting for change. You're waiting for things to get better. We're all waiting for something. I know I sure am. Waiting seems like a timely topic, perhaps now more than ever, for a variety of reasons. Of course, on the very front of our minds and on the tip of our tongues here in the past couple weeks, we're waiting to see what happens next with the coronavirus, what the next news cycle will bring, and what the next set of instructions and restrictions are. Necessarily, unnecessarily, whatever we think about, whatever is coming down the pipe, we're just waiting to hear what comes next. This church, Ocoee Oaks, is waiting to see what ministry will look like moving forward, what God will do through you in this community. What will that look like? What will God have you do? We're waiting. You're waiting to see what comes next as a community of faith. And the idea of waiting itself is timely because waiting is an inescapable and absolutely necessary experience of our faith together. As we turn to Scripture, we see people in the Bible who sought to live in faith. We see that throughout. But what we cannot ignore is that for those people who sought to live in faith in God, we found that they also lived lives in waiting. Noah waited for a good while for the rains to come. And then when the rains came, Noah waited for the rains to cease. And then when the rains ceased, Noah waited for a sign from God that God had not left his planet, his people, his creation alone and doomed. Abraham and Sarah waited, not too well in the end, but waited for decades. I'm glad you got that. Waited for decades for their son Isaac, their promised child, to come, even into old age. They waited decades for their child. The Hebrew people waited while they were in oppression and slavery to be delivered from the hands of their oppressors and be a freed people in their God. They waited and waited and waited. And then, once freed from their oppression, they wandered in the wilderness for 40 years to reach this promised land that God said was there. But boy, did they wait, and they wait as they wandered through the desert. And then once again in captivity, further down the line in their history, they waited for their deliverer, the anointed one, the Savior, to come and save their people, to stand up for their people, to redeem them as a people. They waited. They waited for centuries. After the resurrection of Jesus Christ, the church, if we could even call it the church at that point, the gathered followers of Christ at that time, they waited. They waited for the return of Jesus, as he kind of insinuated throughout his teachings and his time with them. They waited for the return of Jesus. And now we wait, here and now. We wait to see what's next with the virus. We wait and see what's next as a church. We wait to see what's next as a denomination, as a people called United Methodist globally. We are in a time of waiting. Now, out of all this waiting talk, there comes a reasonable question of God. As in, a reasonable question we can ask to God. Why keep us waiting? Why keep us waiting? How long, O Lord, must we wait? How long must we be kept guessing about what is going to come next? Why not just provide the clear answers? Just make things simple. We'll do it. We'll follow. We'll go with whatever you say. Just give it to us. Why not clear directions? Why not those crystal clear assurances of what's going to come next? Why not instantly answered prayers? Why, God, must we always be found waiting? I think it's here that it's useful to call upon the great definition of faith. As we talk about waiting and uncertainty, there is a definition of faith that comes in the book of Hebrews, and we heard it this morning. Faith, in this place of waiting in particular, is the assurance of things unknown. I want to make sure I get this right because it's a beautiful definition and I don't want to butcher it. It is the assurance of things unknown and hope for what is not yet seen. This comes only in that place of waiting, because if we knew what was coming, we would not wait for it. We would expect it. We would demand it. We would feel it is owed to us. And yet there is space for us to wait in faith upon what God will do. Now, I will stop short of saying that God inflicts waiting upon us, as though God were trying to teach us a lesson and not care about the suffering or the uncertainty that we endure therein. But what I will claim is that in this place of waiting, that we are actually invited to a connection with God in a very particular way. When faced with this unknowing, when faced with uncertainty, when faced with circumstances, as we all know right now, that are beyond our control, we can choose to lean into or embrace the waiting itself. Because we choose to believe that in this place of waiting, that God is revealing something about himself, about his ways, about what it means to trust and live by him, as opposed to what we can know and control in our own lives. And this was the prayer of the psalmist this morning. He cried out to God, even in this place of waiting and unknowing. He says, God, let me know your ways. Teach me your paths. Lead me in your truth. He never said he knew what those things were. Instead, I see the psalmist very much in the place of waiting upon God to act and make known and reveal to him. These all may be things that will be revealed to us one day in a flash. And maybe that's our preference, that God would just make known what God's will is for our life, what God's will is for this church, what God's will is for this denomination. Just make it known to us, and one day maybe we'll wake up and get it, because God will just have it there on a silver platter. But if we do not have that information available, which we don't, we are invited to lean in, to lean upon, to trust that God is there even in the place of unknowing. It has seemed to me, and perhaps you have come across the same truth in your life of faith, that this life of waiting and waiting in faith is a moving forward in a direction that we do not yet know, and that way forward, that path, is not linear. I just got to talk to Brody here just before the service, and I heard about his sermon, and the use of the yarn. I thought that was so cool, how tactile to, instead of you just sitting here and listening to what we have to say, no, you got to touch the sermon. I mean, it was passed around the sanctuary. But what I took from that and the connection I make with the message here is, you saw the way forward, the way in God, and it was not from the front of the room to the back of the room in a straight line. No, it traveled all around from what I hear. And it went this way and that way and this way and that way, almost in unpredictable ways. This trusting in God, this waiting in God, is not a linear journey, much like the yarn. So thank you, Brody, for setting up the image for today. That was great. It is not a linear path in faith. It is not a straight line from point A to point B. As a matter of fact, it's point A, which is the time and place that we are now, to point God only knows. Waiting in faith calls and allows us to relinquish that cherished point B that we all prefer, that we all desire, that we just want to be true for our own sake. We are called in faith to let go of that idea in favor of God's destination. Now, this won't feel great, by the way. I won't gloss it over. This waiting for God's movement, God's revelation, and God's destination, which we do not know yet, will not feel great because it is the death of our preference. It truly is. The book of Hebrews, we didn't get through all of chapter 11, but what a rich chapter, because it starts with this familiar and uplifting definition of faith, which we heard earlier, but it goes forward and talks about all these great figures in faith throughout the scriptures. Abel and Enoch and Noah and Abraham and Isaac, Jacob, Joseph, Moses, Gideon, David, Samuel, all the prophets. It names all these great figures of faith and people who waited in faith in God. And then concludes with the verse that we heard today in verse 39. It says, yet all of these people, figures of faith and waiting in God, yet all of these, though commended for their faith, did not receive what they were promised. I don't know if you caught that. These great figures in faith did not in the end receive what they were promised. How strange, how odd, and yet how consistent even with the New Testament scriptures, because this is Jesus praying in the garden, the night in which he was betrayed and handed over. He was praying in the garden. He gave his preference to God. He made his preference known to God. Father, take this cup from me, this cup of suffering, this cup of what is to come. That is his preference, and he made it known to God. That was his point B that he really hoped would come to pass, but that wasn't the end of his prayer. He let go of that destination B and said, but not my will, not my way, not my path, but yours, God. He waited. He waited for God to move. If waiting in faith on God doesn't seem to lead to what we're waiting for or hoping for or getting what we really desire, then why, oh God, do we wait? I think, and I'm a limited person, but the best I got is that the waiting allows us to change how and what we are waiting for in God. I have my own testimony of waiting, and it's been in my recent history. Back in July 2018, I had a major medical incident happen to me. And long story short, it caused an absolute upheaval in my own life, as at a moment's notice, I had to relocate myself and my family from Tallahassee to the Central Florida area. I had to quickly put together enough income for my family each month, and being with you all was part of that income. It was one of my three jobs that I was working simultaneously. I had to reconsider what my vocation was, what my calling was in God, and that was a scary thing because I thought I knew. And all of this was done while waiting for God to show me what came next. I had my preferences all along the way. I had a time frame in mind that all of this was to come and go. I had the types of jobs that I wished I could just go and do instead of the jobs I ended up working. One of them being, and I shared with some of you, quite literally being a busboy at a barbecue joint. Not my preference. I had the kind of income that I really hoped and desired to have. Not that I could go out and live lavishly, but just enough, just to have enough. In time and painfully, if I'm being honest, I realized how tightly I was gripping to my own ways, to my hopes, to my desires, and not God's. So over the past 18 months, I was worn down. I was truly worn down in waiting to the point of submission, where daily it started to look like I had to choose a way forward in God. None of this felt great, by the way. It's ultimately where God took me, where daily I was worn down enough that I had to choose to lean on the only thing I had left, because it sure wasn't my lifestyle that I was accustomed to. It wasn't my income, which I was accustomed to. It wasn't my preferences, which I still had, but were not available to me. I was worn down to choosing to trust in what was not yet happening, choosing to wait upon God. This unknowing, this lifestyle of unknowing in these last 18 months for me became a holy space, a truly holy space in which I was transformed, moved from asking what I was to be in this world to how I was to be in this world. I don't know if you have similar stories, but if there is great suffering in your life, in the shape of not quite sure, not knowing what is next, not knowing what God is doing in your life, not knowing what God is calling you to, may I give you assurance, not answers. I don't have your answers. I didn't have my own. But assurance that this is one of the means through which God transforms you as a person of faith. It is, as Father Richard Rohr, he's kind of a prominent theologian and author nowadays, but he identifies two means through which people are actually changed. Not just we do different things. No, you are changed from the inside out. Two access points that God utilizes through us. It is through great love and great suffering, both of which leads to a great transformation in who you are. So if you are experiencing that, take heart. God is transforming you. But again, I won't gloss it over. It's hard waiting. Take heart. The psalmist today speaks about waiting for God. Show me your ways, because I don't know them. Make known your paths, because I don't feel like I'm walking them yet. Make known your truth, because my guess is not getting me anywhere. The psalmist calls from a place of waiting and yet waits in faith. The people that were listed, the great pillars of faith that were listed in the book of Hebrews today, they lived lives of waiting, even to the point, strangely enough, that they did not get what they were promised. But as we kind of conclude the chapter there, verse 40, as J.R. read today, they did not get what they were promised because God had something greater. Oh, if only we would have the faith, if only I would have the faith to relinquish what I think is promised to me in faith, even what I think is entitled to me in faith, in hopes that if I would wait for it, God would give me something even greater, that God would give you something even greater. We are in a space of waiting right now. We wait to see what the virus does and what those in power suggest for us to do. We just don't know what tomorrow will bring. As a congregation, you wait, as every congregation does right now. You wait to see what the future looks like in ministry here. And I hope you are waiting in hope. And we wait as a denomination, as we have some big moves ahead of us, to see exactly what comes out on the other side. What do we do? Who are we? What does ministry look like? And then you've got your own things. I wish I had more time with you on a consistent basis to get to know what some of the things are that you are waiting for in life. But I don't need to know that. You know what you are waiting for. God knows what you are waiting for. This morning, I bring these scriptures in particular to you to hope that you are encouraged in your waiting, that you do not lose heart, that even when God seems to go silent, when the path gets more and more uncertain forward, when your vision of what you thought would be becomes blurry, take heart. The waiting itself is holy ground. And it's in that place that God comes, that God transforms. And as the book of Hebrews says, God gives you more than even what you thought was promised in the first place. May we wait in faith. May we wait in hope. And may we wait in the love that never leaves us. Would you join me in prayer? Oh God, how long must we wait for whatever it is we're waiting for? May this be our honest prayer, the prayer of our preference to you, as even your son prayed his preference to you on that night in the garden. But God, may we not make our preferences and our life and our timelines be the end of all things. May we acknowledge them, make them real, name them to you, and then God, make room for you, even if we must wait further. Bless us in this time of waiting on all fronts, that we would understand you in new ways. And in fact, as we let go of all the things that are certain in times that we don't have to wait, may you encounter us in this place where we have let go because we cannot name the future. And there, in that time, in that place in our heart, God, may you make yourself known to us. God, we need your strength. We need your Holy Spirit to do this, to be a people in waiting in faith, that we would make room for you, that we would wait patiently, that we would wait hopefully, knowing that you are faithful to us. God, may we wait in you. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.